This is an ABC podcast.
Hello, this is CoronaCast, a podcast all about the coronavirus. I'm health reporter Tegan Taylor.
And I'm physician and journalist Dr. Norman Swan. It's Tuesday, the 14th of July.
And Norman, let's talk about New South Wales today because we've got a small but growing cluster there around this pub in Sydney called The Crossroads. There's now 21 cases from there. Are we sort of watching an outbreak growing in real time?
I'm afraid we might be. And it's in delayed action. So it's what we've said many times in CoronaCast over the last few months. What you see today is what happened a week or 10 days ago. And indeed, that's what we're watching with the Crossroads Hotel. There's an outbreak, I think, in the Picton Hotel, which is just down the road for anybody who knows Sydney geography. And things are spreading out there. There are now cases, or at least one case, which is not the immediate contacts, but a contact of a contact. And so you just don't know at the moment how much virus is circulating out there from just this one cluster. And it could be people who've spread all over New South Wales or certainly all over Sydney. We don't know yet.
So we know that 10 people got it at the hotel itself, and then we've got another 10 who've had close contact with those cases, like you say. And then we've got what's called a tertiary case. So that's where someone has caught it from someone. Wait, can you break it down for us?
Yeah, it's a simple chain. I give the virus to you and then you give the virus to somebody else. That's the chain that we're talking about here. So it's not just the initial ring of people. It's beyond that. And the other problem that they've got with this hotel is that the registration of guests or customers was not done properly, or, you know, don't want to cast aspersions here, but the registration that was supposed to occur wasn't occurring. So either a QR code or you register on a written sheet of paper, and that didn't work. So my understanding is that out of 1,000 guests, they were only able to contact 600, so 400 moving on. And this is obviously a spreader event of some kind. And it goes to the issue of aerosols. It's unlikely that you're getting such a widespread in this environment from people where, you know, it's just people that you've been within 1.5 meters of for more than 15 minutes. It's likely that it's gone beyond that. It's unlikely somebody was coughing and spluttering the whole time. They were just breathing. And it just shows you how contagious this virus can be. So a breakdown in the registration, therefore the contact tracing is a bit of a nightmare, and a breakdown in social distancing in the hotel itself causing this, whether there was a super spreader or it was just a behavioural breach because there wasn't social distancing. We don't know, but it just shows you how fragile our protection against this virus has become.
So you talked before about the lag, the time lag between someone's actually infected and when we find out about it. What are we likely to see over the next few days?
Well, what we hope we'll find is that the New South Wales Health, its contact tracing, pins this down, finds the people who were there, tracks it down, does massive testing and controls it where you stop seeing spread. What would be a complete nightmare would be what you've seen in Victoria, is that it gets into a meatworks. In fact, in Victoria, it's into two meatworks. It gets into aged care homes and it spreads much further, because people go into their home environments, they go into their suburbs, and it spreads there. And that's the nightmare scenario. And it, you know, if it got into a tower block, for example, and there are plenty of tower blocks in Sydney, these are the nightmare scenarios that they're trying to avoid. And the next few days will show.
We've got a question about this from Kay. She's asking, with all the new cases popping up in Sydney, should we be heading back into lockdown now rather than waiting for numbers to climb further before doing so? Surely, she says, that would mean a shorter lockdown for everyone.
It's a difficult question to answer. Initially, what you would hope is that you would find geographically located clusters that they can attack, find, ring fence and move on. So hypothetically, if there's a small cluster in the Blue Mountains, maybe you would ring fence part of, you know, one of the Blue Mountains villages or towns and try and do what they did in Victoria so that people just don't travel and you isolate one particular area. It could be that what you might say to the whole of Greater Sydney is that everybody wears masks outside and when they're going into areas where they can't socially isolate. Because you had a rugby match in eastern Sydney, in the eastern suburbs of Sydney, where people clearly weren't socially distancing. And so you just are not allowed to be in an environment like that without masks on, and you mandate masks across metropolitan Sydney. And that might just give you the extra bit of help that you need in this situation where you're trying to control outbreaks. And if somebody catches a train from the Blue Mountains into Sydney, it's not going to pass it to other people in the carriage, for example, because you don't get on the train if you don't wear a mask. That could be something that avoids a lockdown for a little while to see whether or not contact tracing gets it under control. In theory, with the level of virus that we've got in New South Wales at the moment, testing and contact tracing should be able to control it. But if it can't, they've got to act sooner rather than later. And masks is a fairly easy way to go that might give you a few extra percent of control that's just what you need.
I'm glad you mentioned masks because Roger has a question about that. On our episode on Monday, you said that touching a face mask can reduce or impair its effectiveness, and he wants to know how or why does this happen?
This is more in the healthcare setting. So, for example, let's say you're a nurse or a doctor and you're dealing with somebody who might have COVID-19 and the mask is protecting you against the COVID-19 virus. And if you were then to touch that mask, it's just like touching your face, and then touch your face, then you've just broken down the advantage that you've got from the mask. In the situation where you are out and about and everybody's wearing a mask, that's about protecting other people. And therefore, hygiene around masks is important, but probably not quite so critical. But in general, we should not be touching our face. We should be using hand hygiene a lot, and we should be socially distancing. And that would include the mask, which means that when you're finished wearing it, you go behind the ears and you pull it off and don't touch the mask itself. If it's a washable mask, you put it in the wash, you clean it, and then put on a fresh one, rather than touching the outside. But if you do touch the outside, don't touch your face, clean your hands as well, because you could have got virus from somebody else on it. In an environment such as in New South Wales, even in Victoria at the moment, there's not a lot of virus around. It's unlikely your mask is contaminated. It's a very different situation from a high-risk environment that healthcare workers might experience.
Ingrid's asking about overseas cases. So you've mentioned before that Spain and other places where the virus has been very bad in the past have way less than 60% community immunity. But Ingrid's asking, with Europe and the UK reducing restrictions, why are we not seeing them having a spike in cases? Is it that they're not testing? Is it too soon? How have they been able to reduce lockdown and not see cases and deaths go up again?
I think it's early days in those countries to see what's going to happen. The short answer is I don't know. Certainly the level of herd immunity or natural immunity to the virus is very low, and there's still lots of susceptible people. It could be that because it's summer, people are out and about, they're not at home very much, and the chances of catching it outside are low. Summer does create a different environment for catching this virus, not just the temperature, but just our behaviour as well. All sorts of reasons. It could be that the high-risk areas have a bit of a higher herd immunity, just not picked up by the average across the nation. We don't know the full reason for that. But if you look at the United States, you cannot be complacent about second spikes coming along.
One final was a comment from Talia. She was talking about, you mentioned a couple of days ago about how it was unacceptable that healthcare workers in Victoria were infected with coronavirus. And she's really disappointed in this reference. She's saying healthcare workers getting the virus is a tribute to the effort that they go to and to how virulent the virus is. I read your comments as being more about that it was unacceptable that they were put in a situation where they could catch the virus at work.
Tegan, you got me right on that one. The reality of errors in healthcare, when things in healthcare go wrong, it's not usually, in fact, very rarely, the fault of individuals. Healthcare systems are incredibly complex, and when things go wrong, it's the system that goes wrong. I published a photograph a few days ago. I wasn't allowed to identify it, but it's subsequently been identified as a situation in the Alfred Hospital, where there have been quite a few people identified as COVID-19 positive. A lot of people have been furloughed and sent home. They say that these staff members didn't catch it at work, they caught it elsewhere. But there's quite a few other hospitals around Victoria where they have caught it. Now, if they have caught it at work, This is not the fault of individuals. This is the system which hasn't allowed proper infection control. And the allegation about the Alfred is that the COVID-19 ward is not well infection, is not well controlled for infection. That's not the fault of healthcare workers. That's the system. And you're absolutely right. If that's true, it's outrageous that the system puts healthcare workers at risk. And I've had lots of contact from doctors, mostly around the country, not just in Victoria, complaining that they've been bullied because they want to wear masks and protect themselves outside emergency departments and intensive care units, when this is really something that should be allowed by the system in some shape or form.
So, Talia, definitely on the side of healthcare workers and of safe working environments for them.
Absolutely.
Well, that's all we've got time for on CoronaCast today. If you like what we do, please feel free to leave us a comment or a review on Apple Podcasts.
And to leave a question or a comment, go to abc.net.au/coronavirus and go to Ask Us Your Questions, fill in the form and mention CoronaCast. And don't forget, for your kids, if you've got artworks that you want to submit to the Together in Arts Kids Project, go to the togetherinarts.org/kids and submit your artwork. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you then.